Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Sarasate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschatya Desatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So where this discussion is going, like Ramananda Roy said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I don't know what I'm saying. But because we're here to honor Ramananda Roy and that's this wonderful, most elevated, most sacred conversation between Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will continue. But if it gets so high like you feel your head is bumping into the ceiling, don't worry. The spiritual vibration will be doing something, even if it's so high. And normally, these conversations, like between Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're reserved for very elevated Vaishnavas and very intimate association. So I'm not going to even attempt to go very deeply in these very deep subjects, but just so you get a sense of Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's wonderful relationship and the elevated nature of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. So where we concluded before lunch was after describing the beginning stage of Shuddha Bhakti, moving into ecstatic devotional service, spontaneously rendered devotional service in an ecstatic mood where there's a genuine taste for the activities of hearing and chanting, then the mellows of devotional service may be experienced by a devotee in gradations of rasa. Presented was by Ramananda Roy that of all the rasas, most elevated is Madhurya rasa. The understanding is, and this is described by Ramananda Roy, that in each successive rasa, whatever element or constituent is there in the previous rasa is there in the next rasa, plus some additional element or ingredient, and so on. He gives the example, just like the five gross material elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. Ether is the most subtle of the material elements, and within ether, sound is carried. Just like the technology of cell phones. Some signal is sent here, boop, and a sound goes, and it goes through the using gross material elements, then through the sky, bounces off a satellite out in space, where the only element there is space, akash. The sound is carried, and then it bounces, or is sent signal is sent back, and you receive the signal with your receiver. So sound is within ether, or akash. And the next element that unfolds in the sequence of unfolding elements is air. And within air is sound and touch. And continues to unfold. Fire is form plus sound and touch. Water has sound, touch, form, and smell. And earth has all five. So, earth has smell. Water has taste. Fire has form. So, like that, in each of the five elements, the final element, earth, contains all the other elements. It has that which the other elements have plus additional. So in the science of rasa, Ramananda Roy is explaining that what is there in shanta is there in dasya plus. What's there in dasya is there, excuse me, what is there in sakya is there in dasya plus. So that the most elevated of all the rasas is madhurya. He says, this is for comparative purposes only. Each devotee is perfectly and properly situated constitutionally in their own rasa. It's stated like this. It is true that whatever relationship a particular devotee has with the Lord is the best for him. When we study the different methods from a neutral position, we can understand that there are higher and lower degrees of love. Increasing love is experienced by various tastes, one after another. But that love which is the highest taste, in the gradual succession of desires, manifests itself in the form of conjugal love. That's a quote from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami's teaching. Coincidentally, just happens to match Ramananda Roy's teaching. Or what Lord Chaitanya had Ramananda Roy speak matches what Lord Chaitanya had Rupa Goswami write. As the qualities increase, so the taste also increases in each and every mellow. Therefore, the qualities found in Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya in conjugal love are all manifest. Complete attainment of the lotus feet of the Lord is made possible by love of Godhead, specifically Madhurya Rasa, or conjugal love. Lord Krishna is indeed captivated by this standard of love. So we ended our discussion there, the stages of love in terms of rasa. Ramananda Roy then gives scriptural evidence. He's made some statement. Where's the scriptural evidence that Madhurya Rasa is the highest, besides the logic that he just presented? He says that Krishna has made an eternal promise to the living entities. Yayatamam prapadyante tangsadaiva vajamyaham. As you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. That's his promise. But, he states, the love of the gopis is so strong that they break Krishna's promise. Because he says to them, your love is so strong, I can't possibly reciprocate and pay you back with countless lifetimes of trying to do so. So you're going to have to be satisfied with your love itself. And he also explains that, according to the revealed scriptures, Krishna's love and Krishna's qualities are unlimited. Krishna's qualities are unlimited. But when the gopis come before Krishna with their love for him, his happiness increases. And when his happiness increases, their beauty and their happiness increase in seeing his happiness. And as their beauty and happiness increase, his happiness increases. And we don't find this description the same made about others. Therefore, the love of the gopis in Madhurya Rasa is the best. Scriptural evidence. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, this is very good. But I sense there's something more. What is that something more that you're not telling me? And Ramananda Roy says, amongst all of the gopis, the love of Radharani is supermost. And he gives scriptural evidence. He refers to a verse from Padma Purana that's quoted in different places, including Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. In that verse in Padma Purana, it says that as Srimati Radharani is topmost, so also Radha Kund is the most dear of all places to Krishna. So Radharani is topmost. Then he refers to the verse where the gopis are saying, Radha's love is the best. Anaya aradito nunam. One of the gopis in the Rasa dance has disappeared, and Krishna has gone to look for that gopi who disappeared. And as they're searching for Krishna and seeing the footprints of one gopi, the best of the worshippers of Krishna, Krishna has gone because of his attraction for the best of all the worshippers of Krishna. When in the Rasa dance, Radharani, inspired by her loving nature, is feeling that this is very nice, but actually Krishna wants to enjoy with me. She knows Krishna's heart. She knows Krishna's desire. So she leaves the Rasa dance so that Krishna can come and find her and enjoy together. And when Radharani leaves the Rasa dance, Krishna leaves the Rasa dance. Because as far as Krishna is concerned, what's Rasa dance without Radharani? Or reverse, the Rasa dance is there because of Radharani, although there's tens of thousands, that's a lot of gopis, tens of thousands of gopis who came to join the Rasa dance. Krishna is in between each of the two gopis, but he's one form of Krishna is expanded by Radha alone. And when Radha leaves, there's no taste in Rasa dance for Krishna, so he leaves. And when he leaves the Rasa dance, unable to find Radharani, he becomes despondent, feeling great unhappiness, unable to find Srimati Radharani. Having left, of all the rasas, the conjugal rasa is the highest, and Radharani is the best of all. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu likes this very much. He said, this is very good. But surely, you have something further to say. You're just not saying it. Please say more. And Ramananda Roy says, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm speaking so many things I don't know. Simply because you're inspiring something to come out of my mouth. Something is coming out of my mouth. Lord Chaitanya then says, Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya sent me here to hear from you, and I can understand why he sent me here to hear from you. There's no limit to your understanding of the mellows of devotional service. I'm now becoming purified just by hearing, so please go on speaking. And then Lord Chaitanya spoke this very famous verse that Prabhupada quoted so many times. It's in this chapter. Kiva vipra, kiva nyasi, shudra kene noi, yei krishna tattva se guru hoi. Whether one is a brahmana, a sannyasi, or a shudra, regardless of what he is, he can be a spiritual master if he knows the science of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya says, you're speaking very humbly about yourself, and you're praising me because I'm a sannyasi in the renounced order of life. But it's actually you that know the subject matter, and so I accept you as my spiritual master. It doesn't matter your birth, it doesn't matter your ashram, it doesn't matter your social status. It's this knowing the science of Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya said, please don't try to cheat me. Thinking of me as a learned sannyasi, please satisfy my mind in just describing the truth of Radha and Krishna. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami then says, Ramananda Roy was an elevated spiritualist, and as we heard this morning, his mind was unmoved like wood or stone when it comes to something material, but Ramananda Roy's mind was becoming agitated, spiritually agitated in a good way. He said, I'm just like a dancing puppet. And you're pulling the strings. Whichever way you make me dance, I will dance. Sound familiar? Srila Prabhupada's arrival prayer. My Lord, my tongue is just like a stringed instrument, and you are its player. Therefore, I simply vibrate whatever arises in your mind. Normally, it's whatever arises in our mind comes out of our mouth. But I'm the stringed instrument. This tongue is your stringed instrument, and whatever it vibrates is because it's something in your mind. Then he starts describing, because he's been asked several questions. What's the feature of Radha and Krishna? What's the plain truth of transcendental mellow? And what's the form of love of Godhead? Anybody want to answer that question in a essay exam in your Bhakti Shastri or something. It's not a Bhakti Shastri question, it's a transcendental mellow question. So he, Ramananda Roy, speaks, who is Krishna and who is Radharani? I'll just go through his description quickly. He's the original personality of Godhead, the source of all incarnations, the cause of all causes. He's the resting place of all spiritual planets and material universes. His form is eternity, knowledge, and bliss. He's the son of Nanda Maharaj. He's full of all opulences, potencies, and spiritual rasas. He is the ever-fresh Cupid in the spiritual realm. He is worshipped by the chanting of Gayatri Mantra. And he is all attractive. He's all attractive to all forms of life, all species of life, all social positions of life, moving and non-moving living beings. He's the all-attractive supreme. Even Narayan and Lakshmi and Mahavishnu himself are attracted. And in the purport, Prabhupada describes ways in which Narayan is attracted and Lakshmi is attracted and Mahavishnu is attracted. We have these descriptions in the scripture. Srimati Radharani is the topmost amongst the three primary potencies. Three primary potencies, internal, external, marginal. See, the topmost of the internal potency. The Hladini aspect of his internal potency is Srimati Radharani. She gives pleasure. Her existence is to give pleasure to Krishna in the topmost way. Through Radharani, Krishna experiences happiness. She is Mahabhav, the essential part of prema. How to describe that? The state of transcendental madness that Radharani was experiencing when she was having her talk with the bumblebee is one example. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's seeing Lord Jagannath as Krishna and running towards Krishna and fainting in a swoon is another example of Mahabhav. Srimati Radharani's only business is to please Krishna. And she's able to fulfill all the desires of Krishna. All gopis are expansions of Srimati Radharani. These are all statements being made by Ramananda Roy about Srimati Radharani. He then describes the form of Srimati Radharani in very poetic language, very beautiful language. Srimati Radharani takes her first bath in the shower of the nectar of compassion, and she takes her second bath in the nectar of youth. After her midday bath, Radharani takes another bath in the nectar of bodily luster, and she puts on the garment of shyness, which is exactly like a black silk sari. No purport for any of this, by the way. Srimati Radharani's affection for Krishna is the upper garment, which is pinkish in color She then covers her breasts with another garment comprised of affection and anger toward Krishna. Srimati Radharani's personal beauty is compared to the reddish powder known as kunkum. Her affection for her associates is compared to sandalwood pulp, and the sweetness of her smile is compared to camphor. All these, combined together, are smeared over her body. Conjugal love for Krishna is just like an abundance of musk. By that musk, her whole body is decorated. Covered anger and craftiness constitute the arrangement of her hair. Those of us that have heard this, it's like, it's poetry, but it's so moving how he's describing the appearance of Srimati Radharani. The quality of anger due to jealousy is just like the silk covering of her body. Her attachment for Krishna is the reddish color of betel nuts on her brilliant lips. Her double dealings in loving affairs are just like the black ointment around her eyes. The decorated ornaments on her body are the blazing ecstasies of goodness, and these constantly existing ecstasies are headed by jubilation. All these ecstasies are like ornaments all over her body. These bodily ornaments constitute 20 kinds of ecstatic symptoms, beginning with Kila Kinchita. Her transcendental qualities are the flower garland hanging in fullness over her body. The tilak of fortune on her beautiful broad forehead. Her various loving affairs are a gem, and her heart is the locket. Srimati Radharani's gopi friends are her mental activities, which are concentrated on the pastimes of Sri Krishna. She keeps her hand on the shoulder of a friend who represents youth. Srimati Radharani's bedstead is pride itself, and it is situated in the abode of her bodily aroma. She is always seated there thinking of Krishna's association. Srimati Radharani's earrings represent the name, fame, and qualities of Lord Krishna. The glories of Lord Krishna's name, fame, and qualities are always inundating her speech. Srimati Radharani induces Krishna to drink the honey of the conjugal relationship. She is therefore engaged in satisfying all the desires of Krishna. Srimati Radharani is exactly like a mine filled with valuable jewels of love for Krishna. Her transcendental body is complete with unparalleled spiritual qualities. Then he quotes from Govinda Lilamrita, "If one asks about the origin of love of Krishna, the answer is, the origin is in Radharani alone. Who is the most dear friend of Krishna? The answer again is Srimati Radharani alone, no one else. Srimati Radharani's hair is very curly, and her two eyes are always moving to and fro, and her breasts are firm. Since all transcendental qualities are manifest in Srimati Radharani, she alone is able to fulfill all the desires of Krishna, no one else. Even Satyabhama, one of the queens of Sri Krishna, desires the fortunate position and excellent qualities of Srimati Radharani. All the gopis learn the art of dressing from Srimati Radharani, and even the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and the wife of Lord Shiva, Parvati, desire her beauty and qualities. Indeed, Arundhati, the celebrated chaste wife of Vashishta, also wants to imitate the chastity and religious principles of Srimati Radharani. Even Lord Krishna himself cannot reach the limits of the transcendental qualities of Srimati Radharani. How then can an insignificant living entity count them? Lord Chaitanya, hearing Ramananda Roy's description of who is Radha and who is Krishna, and the nature of the love, the form of love between the two of them, says, now I understand the truth of loving affairs between Radha and Krishna. Nonetheless, I want to hear how both of them gloriously enjoy such love. Ramananda Roy starts and says, there are different ways of exchanging love between Radha and Krishna, starting with Dira Lalita. Dira Lalita is a term that means Krishna can always keep the gopis under control, subjugated by his love. Thus his only business is enjoying with them. Whatever he does, they still love him. And then he goes on describing a very special topic, Prema Vivarta, where apparently something the opposite of what is reality is accepted for reality. He gives this example. When Radharani is feeling extreme pangs of separation from Krishna, and she sees a tamal tree, she runs and embraces the tamal tree thinking it's Krishna. Prabhupada wrote this in one letter. Krishna sometimes, he's meditating upon Srimati Radharani, and in the absent-mindedness of love, he goes into the pasturing grounds and tries to milk a bull. Srimati Radharani, when she's feeling separation from Krishna, she sees the form of meeting as a messenger and begins having a conversation with the messenger of meeting Krishna and speaking to this duti or messenger, please take a message to Krishna. She becomes mad, or apparently so overwhelmed with love that, like the talks with the bumblebee, she apparently doesn't even know what she's doing from the external point of view. But what she's doing is experiencing heightened, unparalleled stages of love. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, very nice. Is you have something more you can say? Ramananda Roy says, I don't know if you're going to like it. I've written something. So he began reciting a song that he had composed, describing the loving dealing of Radha and Krishna. Alas, before we met, there was an internal attachment between us, brought about by an exchange of glances. In this way, attachment evolved. That attachment has gradually begun to grow, and there is no limit to it. Now that attachment has become a natural sequence between ourselves. It is not that due to Krishna, the enjoyer, nor is it due to me, for I am the enjoyed. It is not like that. This attachment was made possible by mutual meeting. The mutual exchange of attraction is known as manobhav or Cupid. Krishna's mind and my mind have merged together. Now, during this time of separation, it is very difficult to explain these loving affairs. My dear friend, Krishna might have forgotten all these things. However, you can understand and bring this message to him. But during our first meeting, there was no messenger between us, nor did I request anyone to see him. Indeed, Cupid's five arrows were our via media. Now, during this separation, that attraction has increased to one another to an ecstatic state. My dear friend, please act as a messenger on my behalf, because if one is in love with a beautiful person, this is the consequence. Oh my Lord, you live in the forest of Govardhan Hill, and like the king of elephants, you are expert in the art of conjugal love. O Master of the Universe, your heart and Srimati Radharani's heart are just like shellac. This is no longer his prayer. This is Rupa Goswami's Ujvala Nilamani describing the same state of loving madness or prema vivarta. Your heart and Srimati Radharani's heart are just like shellac, and now they are melted in your spiritual perspiration. Therefore, one can no longer distinguish between you and Srimati Radharani. You have mixed your newly invoked affection, which is like vermilion, with your melted hearts, and for the benefit of the whole world, you have painted both of your hearts red within this great palace of the universe. Mahaprabhu's reply, this is the limit of the goal of life. Only by your mercy have I come to understand it conclusively. The goal of life cannot be achieved unless one practices the process. Now, being merciful upon me, please explain that means by which this goal can be attained. Ramananda Roy said again, I don't know what I'm saying, but you have made me speak what I have spoken. Whether it's good or bad, I don't know. I'm simply repeating the message that you're asking me to repeat. Within these three worlds, who is so undisturbed that he can remain steady as you manipulate your different energies? Actually, you are speaking through my mouth, and at the same time, you're listening. This is very mysterious anyway. Kindly hear the explanations by which the goal can be attained. So this section is almost over. The whole dialogue is almost over, if your head's not spinning already. He's describing the method of attaining a spiritual body. We're trying to control our mind and senses and hearing about how to attain a spiritual body. But anyway, this is Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Keeping it simple, it starts with adopting a selfless mood of service to Krishna. We have been speaking about that on a platform that's like, you know, a little bit more realistic for us. but striving for a platform, a steadiness in selfless service unto Krishna, where there's not a pinch of personal desire, which means lust or pride or envy or the other enemies of the conditioned soul. In that state, one gradually becomes attracted to one of the principal rasas. This is following along the line of nectar of devotion as well. Being attracted to that mood, one continues to serve externally, but internally attracted to that mood. And that mood in a superlative form, particularly for followers of Lord Chaitanya, but in that mood, the mood of the followers of Lord Chaitanya becomes the mood of conjugal love. Here's what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes. After thinking of Radha and Krishna and their pastimes for a long time, and after getting completely freed from material contamination, one is transferred to the spiritual world. There, the devotee attains the opportunity to serve Radha and Krishna as one of the gopis. Unless one follows in the footsteps of the gopis, he cannot attain the service of the lotus feet of Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. If one is overcome by knowledge of the Lord's opulence, he cannot attain the Lord's lotus feet, even though he is engaged in devotional service. So this is a message of Braja Prem, distinct from the love that's also found in Vaikuntha. The example is then expanded with Goddess Fortune Lakshmi became attracted. When we go to Sri Rangam, we'll hear the detail of this some more. But she wished to enter the rasa dance with Krishna, but she was unable to enter the rasa dance with Krishna. She's the goddess of fortune. And Narayan and Krishna are non-different, but she can't enter the rasa dance because her mood isn't the mood of Vrindavan. And how does one get entrance into Vrindavan, entrance into the realm of Krishna? By the mercy of those who are in that position. Without which, and in that mood, it's not the opulence of Krishna that attracts one, or his being the supreme personality of Godhead that attracts one. It's simply love for Krishna, simply wanting to serve Krishna in a humble, loving, serving mood. Hearing this from Ramananda Roy, he just clasped Ramananda Roy's shoulders and started weeping. That's the end of the evening's conversation. Because they had gone on the whole night long discussing in this way, and the morning was breaking. So Lord Chaitanya said, I want to hear from you more. And Ramananda Roy said, I don't want to be apart from your association. Please stay at least 10 days more so that I can become purified. What to speak of 10 days more, let us eternally associate with one another. So they met again and met again and met again, and I'm not going to go through the details of the again and again. The next evening, there's again Lord Chaitanya posing questions like, you know, what's the superlative something? Krishna or Radharani, and the whole, like, you know, series of those topics. Of all types of education, which is the most important? Getting a PhD, right? Ramananda Roy replied, "There is no education that is important other than the transcendental devotional service of Krishna." So all of you that are enrolled in college, you know what to do, right? Out of all glorious activities, which is most glorious? Ramananda Roy replied, "That person who is reputed to be a devotee of Lord Krishna's enjoys the utmost fame and glory." And so it goes on like that, just like page after page after page of what's the best of anything. And it's connected to Krishna. They end up describing, let's start to read here. Ramananda Roy, after this dialogue, said, "I have one doubt. Please be merciful and remove my doubt." So far it's been Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asking and Ramananda Roy answering. Now Ramananda Roy is asking. He says, "At first I saw you like a sannyasi, but now I am seeing you as Shyamasundar." The cowherd boy, "I see you appearing like a golden doll, and your entire body appears covered by a golden luster. I see that you are holding a flute to your mouth, and your lotus eyes are moving very restlessly due to various ecstasies. I also see you in this way. I actually see you in this way. And this is very wonderful. Please, without duplicity, tell me, what's causing this?" Lord Chaitanya's reply is, "You have such deep love for Krishna, you see things that way." A devotee advanced on the spiritual platform sees everything movable and inert as the Supreme Lord. For him, everything he sees here and there is but the manifestation of Lord Krishna. "You're a Mahabhagavata Vaishnav. That's how why you're seeing the way that you're seeing." And gives references, scriptural references, verifying Ramananda Roy's reply. "My dear Lord, please give up all these serious talks. Do not conceal your real form from me. My dear Lord, I can understand that you have assumed the ecstasy and bodily complexion of Srimati Radharani. By accepting this, you are tasting your own personal transcendental humor and have therefore appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My dear Lord, you have descended in this incarnation of Lord Chaitanya for your own personal reasons. You have come to taste your own spiritual bliss. And at the same time, you are transforming the whole world by spreading the ecstasy of love of Godhead. By your causeless mercy, you have appeared before me to grant me liberation. Now you are playing in this duplicitous way. What's the reason for this behavior?" Lord Chaitanya smiled and then showed his form of Radha and Krishna along with his form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramananda Roy fell to the ground unconscious. Lord Chaitanya touched his hand to revive him. Then he saw Lord Chaitanya just standing there in the dress of a sannyasi instead of Radha and Krishna. Lord Chaitanya picked him up and embraced him and said, "Except for you, no one has seen this form. All the truths about my pastimes and mellows are within your knowledge. Therefore, I have shown this form to you. Actually, my body does not have a white complexion. It only appears to be because it has touched the body of Srimati Radharani. However, she does not touch anyone but the son of Nanda Maharaj. I have now covered my body and mind, converted my body and mind into the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani. Thus I am tasting my own personal sweetness in that form. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu admitted this to Ramananda Roy. Where does it go from there? Now there is no confidential activity unknown to you. Even though I try to conceal my activities, you can understand everything in detail by virtue of your advanced love for me. Lord Chaitanya then requested him, keep this a secret. He's not very good at keeping a secret. Or only later was it disclosed, is the idea. Do not expose this anywhere and everywhere. Keep my activities, since my activities appear to be like those of a madman, people may take them lightly and laugh. Indeed, I am a madman, and you are also a madman. Therefore, both of us are on the same platform. This continued for 10 nights, the end of which Lord Chaitanya left, and on his way back, he had requested Ramananda Roy to get released from his government service. Request that of the king, that you can come and stay with me in Puri. So as his travels went all the way through South India, he came back on his return journey. He had 2 books with him, which he had gathered in the course of his travel, Krishna Karnamrita and Sri Brahma Samhita. He showed them and shared the contents with Ramananda Roy. With his own hand, Ramananda Roy made copy. We saw when we went to the house of Ramananda Roy, his writing instrument. Did you see that? Very metal, sharp instrument with a cutting piece on the end. I guess that's like the eraser, in case he wanted to change something. And because he had not yet gotten the full release from his government service from the king. So meanwhile he was confident he would. He was making all arrangements so that when the king granted his release, he could leave his affairs and join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri. So Lord Chaitanya returned to Puri, and after some time, King Prataparudra came from Cuttack with Ramananda Roy and met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Gambira. So, these topics are very elevated topics, not ordinarily discussed in devotee association. They're because, we have to have proper qualification to hear. Nonetheless, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami presented them. Srila Prabhupada translated them, and there are not lots of purports, but references from scriptures to support the statements of Ramananda Roy. And the science of devotional mellows is a very important part of Lord Chaitanya's teaching. And he presented it through Ramananda Roy and also Rupa Goswami. There's a companion literature to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu called Ujjvala Neelamani. It's like part 2 of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And it's similarly, so on the one hand, very, very scientific and specific about different types of residents of Vrindavan and different types of rasas and different things that provoke different moods of ecstasy by the devotees for Krishna. Something like Ramananda Roy was training the Devidasis at certain gestures and certain smiles and certain facial expressions and certain movements would awaken certain happiness in Krishna's heart. So devotees are, there's all the variety, and Ramananda Roy knew that science of drama as well as Rupa Goswami knew that science by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as a result, Mahaprabhu disclosed everything to these two very, very elevated Vaishnavas because of their unalloyed, unequaled, unparalleled love for Lord Chaitanya. Just hearing these things may help us appreciate how elevated is that knowledge of devotional service that Lord Chaitanya has to offer. From our very simple entry level, we just follow the process very carefully, take very seriously the chanting of the holy name, the effort to free ourselves from the unwanted things within our hearts, and knowing that there's this very deep, rich, ecstatic way of life in pure devotional service as we gradually progress on that spiritual path, following Lord Chaitanya and his associates. So I don't think I'm going to take questions because of the nature of the subject matter. But we can have kirtan again. How will we do this with... How did you do with the translation? Where's Jagatananda? How did it work out? So you're complete. You're caught up. Krishna Shakti? You're caught up? And where's our... You're okay? Okay. So I don't know what you're going to do with this, with your translation. That's what Maharaj said. You want to try? Okay, so it'll be short. You have a nice place where you can go? Where there's not a zillion mosquitoes? You'll find a place, and we'll have kirtan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki.
Jai.
Srila Ramananda Roy ki.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.